Good morning, Secretary Johans. Thank you very much for giving me this opportunity to talk with you for the very first time. And we have several topics to cover. So first off, the budget. I understand you wanted to discuss that a little bit. When the administration proposed the fiscal year 06 budget last month, there was a lot of hue and cry raised around the countryside because of the cuts that were put forth in an attempt to reduce the budget, the federal deficit. As far as the ag budget is concerned now, it looks like the Senate Ag Committee leadership made a deal to limit those budget cuts and that would allow them to make the decisions on how the cuts are made, ideally keeping the 2002 Farm Bill intact and avoiding payment limitations, at least for now. What are your thoughts on that deal and how it might work?
My thoughts are very much along the lines of what I've been saying for many months, literally from the day that I was confirmed, and that is that I just feel so strongly that the president's got the right approach here. Let me start, if I might, with the overall picture. I spent 6 years as a governor during some of the most difficult state budget times that our nation has really ever faced, and definitely as bad as it's been since World War II. And every state in the country really went through that except one or two. And we had to make some awfully tough decisions, but they were the right decisions for the long-term prosperity of our states. And governors all across the country faced those issues and, like I said, made some awfully tough decisions. The president has done the same. He's looked at this situation, and he has set a goal. He said, we got to cut this federal deficit in half by the year 2009. Now, why is that important for agriculture? Well, if you look at the statistics, in 2005, we're projecting export sales of $59 billion. I think we report that that will be the third highest on record. We've recorded net cash farm income of $78.1 billion, another record for 2005, or we're projecting that. And for farm equity, the balance sheet is better. It's at $1.25 trillion, you know, so the balance sheet has improved. Well, the president wants that prosperity to continue, and I do too. So he put out a proposal, and basically the proposal says this. If you just summarize it all down, he says, look, everybody's got to be a part of this. The USDA was not singled out. The farm programs weren't singled out. You know, go over to Health and Human Services, where Secretary Leavitt is working on his budget, and he's dealing with the same goal. But we're all united in this goal, because if you want prosperity for agriculture to continue, you can't run deficits at this level. It won't work out. And farmers and ranchers understand that. They know they can't run their operations at a deficit and have it pencil out for them in the end. It just doesn't work. So the president stepped up and said, look, we've got to look at these programs. We've got to deal with it. And I believe he's got the right combination.
Okay, beef trade. It seems like this issue constantly coming up in the news, especially relating to both Canada and Japan. When do you think it's possible we might see the U.S. beef trade situation finally return to some sense of normal?
I really hope it's soon. And you know, we've been working as hard as we can to get a date with Japan and a date that we can all work toward. And we had set a date with Canada, as you know. If I might, just to kind of address the overall issue, during my confirmation hearing some months ago, it was dominated by discussion of what do we do to get that Japan border open to our beef? And there was so much frustration on both sides of the aisle. It didn't matter who was asking the questions. They just said, Mike, you know, we want you to get confirmed, and then we want you to just give every ounce of energy you have to getting Japan reopened, and we're doing that. But their message was also clear on another point. They said, you know, we really need to base these decisions not on the politics of the day, but on sound science. Well, we need to do the same thing with our largest trading partner in the world, which is Canada, and base those decisions on sound science. Again, I'll just reiterate it. Based upon every piece of science that, you know, it's just so clear that what we're doing with Canada is safe, not only for human consumption, but also for animal consumption. And that's the case we're making to Japan. Look, our beef is safe. Open your borders. Let us start selling our product into your market. So we're going to do everything we can to move that agenda. It's complicated. You've got lawsuits, you've got all of these other things impacting timeline, but we're going to do everything we can to move that agenda forward.
CAFTA is the next topic. It's a huge issue with producers of cotton, sugarcane, citrus, vegetables, and other import-sensitive commodities. Three countries already approved the agreement. We're starting debate in Congress on it. What would you have to say to the producers, particularly of those commodities? I know that most other commodities are pretty much in favor of this, but these commodities, they're concerned about the impact the agreement might have on them.
CAFTA is the right thing for producers in the United States. There just isn't any doubt about it. Here's what I would point out about CAFTA, and this tends to get lost in the debate. CAFTA nations already have access to the U.S. market. This agreement does not impact that debate at all. That debate is settled by prior agreements that have been entered into. Let me repeat that. CAFTA nations already have access to the U.S. market. 99% of their products enter the United States under other agreements duty-free. Now, when I go out and talk to farmers and ranchers across this country, one of the things they say to me is, Mike, we need you to lead the trade fight to get a level playing field. That's all we're asking for. Get us a level playing field, and we feel like we can compete with anyone in the world. Well, that's exactly what CAFTA does. It brings those duties down that are imposed upon our products so we have access to that market in CAFTA. And I could go through the items item by item, but let me tell you, CAFTA is exactly what producers are asking me to do. Get markets open, level the playing field. Currently, CAFTA nations access our market. 99% of their products come in duty-free. We got to get this level playing field. We have to do it by approving CAFTA.
Cuba, another trade issue. It's a growing market for agriculture. But this issue with the Treasury Department regarding payment of cash in advance is threatening to cause some serious setbacks there. What's your position, the administration's position, regarding that issue?
Of course, I support the administration's position, but let me tell you where this is at in terms of agriculture. When I was governor, I represented a state that was the fourth largest exporter of ag products in the United States, which is quite remarkable because we were a state of 1.7 million people. I traveled all over the world, led eight trade missions. You know, I always had agriculture involved in those trade missions to market our products. And I'd have people come up to me and say, you know, Mike, when you go over there, wherever, are you going to talk about human rights? Are you going to talk about this? Are you going to talk about that? And I'd always say, look, you trade with the rules that are out there. That's just the way it works. Every country you work with, there are going to be rules by which you deal with the trade. And that's what you have here with this Treasury ruling. My attitude is still the same. We're going to do everything we can do to market products that into countries that are open to receive our products, and we'll do everything we can to live within the rules of engagement for trade for that individual country, whether it's Cuba or Canada or Japan or whatever. And so we'll continue to do that.
Another topic, you announced an initiative this week for small-scale, limited-resource farmers to help them implement conservation practices on their land. Could you tell me a little bit about that, why you felt this initiative was necessary, and what you hope to accomplish with it?
We really want to reach out to small farmers. And one of the things that we have learned as we work with small farmers is we talk to them, and they say, you know, Mike, why don't you have this kind of program? And we say, well, we do have that kind of program. Well, I didn't know that. And so our whole effort here is an outreach program, and it's been very positively received. We could not be more excited about it. And the whole idea is to try to get the smaller operators, the smaller farmers, to access the programs that are already there on the books, get them signed up, and get them participating in programs that we believe can be very helpful to them, very valuable in their operations. So this is one we're thrilled about. We're excited about the response we've received, and our hope is that we can really gin up, if you will, the excitement for the program and get small farmers involved in what we do here at the USDA.
Finally, Mr. Secretary, March 20th is National Agriculture Day, your first as Agriculture Secretary. What are your comments about this annual event and, in general, about communicating to the public the importance of agriculture to our country?
You know, this is a great opportunity for me to promote agriculture as the Secretary of Agriculture for the United States. Here's what I would say to the public. There was a point in my life where I was a young man on the farm. We had dairy and cattle and hogs and chickens and kind of the typical family farm. In fact, I say I don't think you could have found a more typical family farm. My life has gone on. I've been more of a consumer, and I walk into grocery stores these days, and I see this incredible array of food products grown here in the United States by very efficient producers. What I want the American public to understand is that that is available, and we spend less of our disposable income on feeding our families than just about any other country in the world because of the high character, the productivity, the hardworking attitude of our American farmers and ranchers, and it is just a great opportunity for us to celebrate what they do and to contemplate everything we can do to provide a bright future for agriculture in our nation.
Also, Mr. Secretary, we're pleased to have you there. I'd also like to say your communication staff there at USDA is the best. I've worked personally with Gary and Brenda and Larry for many, many years, and I just think they're the greatest, and they help us out a lot out here. And I thank you very much for your time, Mr. Secretary. I wish you a very productive agriculture day and weekend, and a blessed Easter season as well.
Thank you. Likewise to you.
Thank you.